Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
I'll go into your van, witchy woman.
I'm Niamh from Ireland.
And I'm Emily, living in Chicago.
And we have never met in real life.
Fortunately, you don't need to live on the same continent to make a spooky podcast.
So that's exactly what we did. We created Ronan Pine, our folklore, mythology, and spooky stuff podcast.
You can find us on your favorite platform, and we already have over 35 episodes ready to binge.
Don't forget the spooky shorts.
Right. We also have a bunch of short episodes, if that's what you're into.
Come on, get spooky with us, and frick yeah, folklore.
If tales of ghostly hauntings, Bigfoot encounters, extraterrestrial interactions, and cosmic awakenings are your cup of tea, then join me, Eric Szilagyi, host of Uncomfortable Podcast, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Make Uncomfortable your home for the topics that reside on the fringe of our reality. Eyewitnesses, researchers, and experiencers join me on a weekly basis to delve into their paranormal and otherworldly experiences. Heard in over 65 countries worldwide, follow Uncomfortable Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your casts. Uncomfortable is now presented in video form on YouTube as well. So, as always, my friends, stay uncomfortable.
Welcome to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast. I'm Declan, the son.
And I'm Jane, the mom. This is the podcast where we talk about brutal crimes, bizarre occurrences, and get you drunk with cocktails themed around one of our stories. To lighten things up, we'd like to end our time with a chaser. Please keep in mind some of our stories might be upsetting to young or sensitive ears.
We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to contact us by email or social media. You can find our contact info in the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, you can find us there at Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast, or use the link in our show notes.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us for our boozy and bizarre and brutal and fun stories. How are you doing, Declan?
Oh, yeah. Don't forget our cocktails. We got an interesting one today, right, Mom?
Yes. Yes. What story have you got for us today?
I am going to be talking about the Battle of Alcatraz.
Oh, okay. I think we touched a little bit on that when we talked about Alcatraz itself.
Yes, I'm gonna be telling the full story because it's fairly interesting. I don't remember our Alcatraz story. I don't know how long ago that was, so I hope I don't repeat.
It was a long time ago. Let me actually go find it. It was a long time ago. It was... Yeah, wait, no.
I hope I'm not just reciting the same shit we already talked about, but I don't think I am.
It was episode 56.
About 100 episodes ago. 104 episodes ago.
Yes.
This is 160.
Oh, so. Wow. It's been a minute.
Well, sorry if I say the same shit, but
I don't think I covered it in detail. I think I just
kind
brought
of
it up
over
and,
the
yeah
what happened kind of okay
yeah
I've got some
I don't remember though
on it, but what story do you have know. For us today, Mom?
Well, I'm going to be talking about a spooky haunted castle. You know, my Ooh. Favorite things, ghost
I
stories,
haunted stuff.
I do. It's like so much fun. The castle that I'm going to be covering is in Ireland. So the drink that I brought to go with it is called the Celtic Twilight cocktail. The ingredients are 1.5 ounces of Irish whiskey, 1 ounce of Irish cream, 1/2 ounce of coffee liqueur or hazelnut liqueur. The steps are to add ice to a mixing glass, add the whiskey, Irish cream, and liqueur to the glass with ice, stir until well combined and chilled, and then strain into a lowball glass.
I don't think I'm
Are
gonna
you
like
ready?
This. No.
I don't think you're going to like it either. And I'm a little scared because it's all just alcohol, and that often doesn't go very well for me. But
I want to know what hazelnut liqueur tastes like. Liqueur, I couldn't find that at the liquor store, but
I bet you it's over
fucking
like
coffee
with the DeKippers stuff. I bet you it's with the DeKippers stuff, like the butterscotch liqueur.
Mm, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I guess you're right. They have a bunch of weird flavors and shit.
They
like
do
that.
Have weird flavors. I didn't look because I've got a lot of coffee liqueur and I like coffee liqueur. So yeah, that's what I'm going with.
I was just trying to find anything other than coffee liqueur.
I get it. Oh. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
It's really harsh. Mm.
I wouldn't even give that to like POW.
I wanted to like it, but
that was gross.
In all honesty, I picked the drink. Well, I picked the drink first and then went looking for stories that had anything to do with like the Celtic region and Celtic stuff, and came across this fun little castle story. So
I
went with
the
castle story.
The drink sounds gross. Did you just want to torture me?
Because it was a cool name. I liked the name. And I honestly thought I might not hate it. I saw it and I was like, it's a cool name. And then the ingredients aren't 100% terrible. I don't know. I think it's
the only redeeming quality there is
me.
The whiskey.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll grow on me.
I
don't know. Anyway. Okay. It's pretty terrible. When, unfortunately, we've had a just like
long
months
streak of
long
just shitty drinks.
Yes.
I don't think next week's going to be any better, by the way.
I don't think so either. Little peek behind gross. The curtain that we record a few in a row and we know what we're doing next week. And I think it's going to be a terrible cocktail, but we'll see next week.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
Check in next week with us.
Yes. To see if we dump another cocktail down the drain. Oh, okay. Well, the drink was terrible, but the story should be fun. Well, not fun, but interesting. Leap Castle is located in Ireland and is one of the longest continually inhabited castles in the country. The castle had multiple uses over leap, like we'll get to why it's
jump.
Okay. Yes, leap like jump. And it's named that for a reason. The castle has had what?
That's not good.
Well, yeah, it's not good, but
okay.
Who knows? The castle had multiple uses over the centuries, including a tomb, a home, and a fortress. With centuries of history like that, it's no wonder the castle claims to be the most haunted castle in the world. Although
that's
I don't
a large
know
claim.
How it's a, yes, it's a very large claim. And how do you determine
how do you
that?
Measure that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But according to them, they're the most haunted castle in the world. Let's start with the origin and history of the castle. The original Irish name means Leap of the O'Bannons. And I'm not going to even attempt to tell you the name in the original
in
language.
Celtic.
So we're just going, yes, we're going with the translation, which is to mean the Leap of the O'Bannons. The
what
legend behind the name refers to two O'Bannon brothers who were contesting who would be the leader of their clan. To settle this argument, they had to make a display of strength and bravery, as of course, you know.
Are you going to tell me he's going to do an Assassin's Creed dive into hay bales off the top of the tower? That'd be so sick.
Well, there is a jump, which is why it's named Leap Castle. You might be thinking they were going to fight each other, or maybe even someone else would be involved in the fight. But no, that wasn't the display they were looking for. They chose to jump off a large rock formation, and the survivor would be the leader. Thus the name Leap
Onto the ground or the
castle.
Water?
To the ground. So they're just jumping off rocks. I don't know how tall this rock outcropping was, or if it was just a single rock, but it was...
When was this again?
Enough that they thought one would die. Back in the 1500s.
So they didn't know how to do parkour. So they,
no.
They're just jumping, no. Landing feet first. Ooh, God.
Probably. Probably.
There's some bad videos of that I've seen. I don't like that.
100% nasty stuff. The castle was then built at the site of the rocky jump in the early 1500s. The O'Bannon clan were actually the secondary clan under the primary ruling clan, which was the O'Carrolls. So the O'Bannons were the ones that jumped, but they were just the underlings, basically, for the O'Carrolls. The O'Carrolls were the group that pretty much controlled the area and were known to be kind of aggressive and mean and nasty. The well-fortified castle became the primary stronghold for the O'Carroll clan and was located on a mountain pass to guard access to the pass. So it's basically guarding this access. The O'Carroll clan were known in the region to be very ruthless and aggressive. Being a good resource for the area, other clans wanted the castle, so over the decades, attempts were made to take it over. On one occasion, a cannon blast...
Are you guys fighting in, like, suits of armor? Or, like...
I don't know. I don't know, but lots of people are fighting
like
each other.
Suits of armor with swords and...
Probably. I don't see why they wouldn't
it's
be.
It's probably more like Braveheart. In kilts and shit like that.
Probably.
Because it's...
Yeah.
Okay. I'll picture Braveheart.
Except they're Irish. Scots wear kilts. I don't think Irish do. But maybe I'm wrong. Anyone Damn, from Ireland who wants to correct me?
Right? Aren't they right next to each
feel
other?
Feel free. Pretty much, I think.
They're probably all fighting the same way. I'm imagining Braveheart from now on. Okay.
Back in that day, yes, they probably had some good armor that they were wearing. You know, you're not out there wielding
now muskets
axes
and shit,
at each other and doing it in your plain clothes, t-shirt, and some jorts. Well,
I'm trying to imagine what part of, like, I don't think that's musket territory yet.
No.
So they're probably using bows and arrows and swords and axes and shit. And horses.
Yes, I would think so. And, you know, the medieval things, like probably a mace on
a trebuchet?
You know, maybe. There is no trebuchet that falls into this story, but, you know, in theory, there could have been a trebuchet. But there was a cannon that was involved. That blasted the castle and damaged part of it. So there was some damage to the castle that they had to repair. The O'Carrolls held on to control of the castle for about 100 years until it was given to an English soldier named Jonathan Darby in 1642. Darby was given the castle as a payment for his services. Darby's family maintained control of the castle for centuries until there was an uprising in 1922 when the castle was looted and burned.
Do
you have a question?
No, I had a comment. I think it's cool that he must have done some pretty cool shit in the military if they're giving him a castle as payment.
Well, he should be thankful that he got the castle as payment and not murdered because... They we'll get into it later, but the O'Carrolls were known to hire mercenaries to help them in their fights. And rather than paying the mercenaries, they would just kill them. Like mass murder, they would drug their food and then slit their throats.
We're done with
kind
you,
of thing.
Just fucking throw you away.
Yes, thanks for your help. You can die now.
This is...
So he got a castle instead. And his family lived there for a long time.
I bet you it's so cold in a castle.
Oh, for sure. Castles are not made for warmth back then.
It looks pretty fucking cool, though.
It does look cool.
I guess all castles look cool, but it looks...
I would agree.
You shouldn't allow like vehicles in pictures of castles. It looks out of place.
Yes.
I'm looking at some pictures on Google Images and there's like a moving van out front. I'm like, what? This shouldn't be there. Just move it out of the frame of the picture. There's an RV in this one. Get that out of there.
Right. No, you can't pull modern stuff up to a centuries old castle. No, that's just not right.
Unless it's like a Ferrari or something cool, but there's literally an RV and a Geo Metro parked out front of this thing.
Yeah, no, it's not okay. Ruining the image.
Yeah.
Castle dwellers don't drive Geo Metros.
No.
From 1922, the empty shell of a castle was uninhabited until it was purchased in 1974, and then reconstruction started. Throughout the years, there have been many stories from varied sources about hauntings in the castle. In the early 1900s, one of the owners and inhabitants, Mildred Darby, was very interested in the occult. She would often have seances and did automatic writing. Which
that should be, if someone does that in your home, they should disclose that, like how they have to disclose a death. Like, hey, just so you know, the person who lived here before was doing satanic rituals in your house.
We conjured up some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beware. There's some shit that's hanging out here. We're sorry.
Don't go in the basement. There's a portal to the underworld.
Well, in a castle, it's called an oubliette. And we're going to get into the oubliette.
That's even scarier. Don't go to oubliette. I know. There's a portal I to know. The underworld.
Yes.
Okay.
Some people believe that it was her interest in the occult that stirred up many of the spirits that were reported. However, some accounts of hauntings occurred prior to her stories. She lived there in the early 1900s, essentially, and it'd been around for, you know, nearly 400 years at that point. So, you know, somebody's seeing some shit before that, especially with all of the shenanigans that were going on.
Wonder if that's why she started her seances, because she saw something and it was like, oh, I need to contact the devil.
Maybe
the fuck she was doing down
there. Occult brought itself to her and said, you need to investigate us. And she was like, well, the spirits told me to. I wasn't interested until I moved into a fucking haunted castle and now I got to learn some shit.
She ate some foraged mushrooms and decided that she needed to do seances.
Maybe. There is the fact that renovation and reconstruction of the castle might have unearthed some things that could be causing some of the ghost reports. Because, you know, a lot of times when we've covered haunted places, there's a certain amount of like nothing was brought up until we broke into that wall and we found a skeleton and now it's haunted
and burial
and now
grounds
there's ghosts.
In Scotland.
Yes, exactly. As I mentioned before, this castle is said to be the most haunted in the world, so let's chat about who and what has been encountered here. Okay. And maybe the fact that there's so many different stories of things that have been seen and encountered, maybe that's why they're calling it the most haunted in the world. It's not just like one or two things. I don't know.
If I was to rank hauntings, I think I would put like a demon throwing things around my house, like the
pretty haunted.
Hex Heads or whatever it was called. Like the
that
was also
yes, throwing the shrunken head things.
Yeah, across the room. That's more scary than just like a ghost lady walking around every night.
Right.
So I guess you'd have to rate it on like a fear level, I guess, instead of just occurrences.
True. Well, but that's very subjective. Like, some people are super scared of shit that they, and other people are like, whatever. Yeah, there's a ghost behind me. I don't care.
If there's like a ghost lady walking around your house every night, eventually you'd just come to like, you'd name her and just say, hey, Martha, or whatever the fuck her name was.
Right.
And if she's not things throwing shit around or like turning lights off or slamming doors.
Well, we're going to get into a not so nice thing at the very end. I saved the worst sounding thing for the very end. Many of the haunted places we have talked about have had a woman in white, but this castle has a woman in red.
All red or just part different. Of her red? That'd be scary.
She's wearing a red dress.
Oh.
She's wearing a red dress, like a red silk gown.
Is she sexy? That might be a nice ghost to have around.
She's maybe. She's described as a tall woman wearing a red dress. I don't know if there was any description of her being hot or not.
It's better than an old lady in white walking around.
True. Yeah. I mean, I if you got to have a ghost in your house, you'd want the ghost to at least be attractive, maybe.
That'd be a cool ghost to have.
Her spirit is seen accompanied by a light that seems to come from within itself. So she's glowing.
Okay.
She's glowing and she's wearing a red dress.
Somebody,
but she's also
like
often
stick.
Seen
she must
carrying a knife or dagger. Yeah, she ate a glow stick and she's carrying a knife.
I didn't. The knife part is a little scary.
Yeah, she's carrying a knife or a dagger. It's believed that she was captured by one of the O'Carroll clan, raped and held in the castle. After giving birth to a child that was a result from the assault, the child was killed by one of the O'Carrolls. And as the story goes, she picked up the knife and then took her own life right after. And that's why she is seen carrying a knife. Yeah.
That's dark.
It's super dark. She's often seen in an area of the castle that was used as a nursery and has been said that she would stand at the beds of children and cry. So really sad.
Oh,
right?
That's,
super tragic.
I'm more scared for the kids that had to witness that.
Yeah. No kidding. Could you? Well, when they say, you know, that kids see stuff that adults don't. So if the kids are lying in bed and they're like, the red lady was crying over me. Oh, and she had a knife. Yeah, that's terrifying.
If I had a kid and they started saying shit like that, I'm burning the house down. Yeah.
Yes.
Did I ever say any scary shit like that?
No.
Nothing that made you think like, oh my God, we need to... we need to leave.
No, the only thing that you ever did that was weird was when you
was the Santa milk thing.
Sleepwalk. Yes.
Because
yes,
I can't.
You were sleepwalking.
I had a bunk bed at the time, right? I climbed down the bunk bed down a set of stairs, or just the bunk bed ladder.
You climbed down the stairs of the bunk bed, the ladder. Okay. Of the bunk bed. You climbed down
and
the ladder of the bunk bed.
Santa
and then
needs more milk, like whispered it to
and
you guys, right?
Came into the bedroom and stood by my side of the bed and we're talking about Santa. It was not Christmas time, I don't think either.
It's like July.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was weird because you have never slept walk before that. So it was weird.
I think of that story every now and then. I'm like, I would freak yeah. the fuck out. If my yeah. kid just spawned next to my bed, it was like, Santa needs more milk.
And it's July.
Yeah, it would have hit me.
Yeah, it was creepy. It's there's another woman that's also been seen in the castle, and she is called the murdered woman. So this is not the woman in red and
not the
another
woman,
murdered woman. This is the murdered woman. It's believed that she was a lover to She was involved with a couple of the O'Carrolls. We know that they weren't involved. Exactly nice. She had more than one lover, and both of them were O'Carrolls.
Okay. Oh, she's fucking family members. Both two family members.
Yeah, kind of sounded like okay. that. These guys were not nice to each other. They murdered each other. Cousins were killing each other. Brothers were killing each other. They were just. Sometimes it was because one of them pissed the other off for something, and another did it because they wanted to take over leadership, and it was not a nice family.
Sounds
and there were
like
a lot of
family.
Them. Yeah, a little bit. Anyway, she was killed for being a lover of more than one
promiscuous
of the
girl.
Family members. Yes. She has been seen walking down a hallway, screaming, then falling to the ground and disappearing. So it's believed that she died violently and then, yeah. Two young girls are often reported at the castle as well. Their names are Emily and Charlotte. It's believed they lived in the castle in the 1600s and were either the last of the O'Carroll family or the first of the Darbys. Emily appears to be around 11 or 12.
Are they twins to ask you to play with them?
They are not twins.
Come play with us.
They are not twins because there's an age difference.
Okay.
Emily appears to be around 11 or 12 years old. She died after falling off of one of the battlements. So she fell from the roof, essentially. Many have heard a child scream and seen a girl falling off the castle roof. Then she disappears before hitting the ground.
That'd be the worst type of ghost to be, is you just keep dying the way you
yes.
died over and over again.
Well, same with the murdered woman. Because she's running down the hallway and then she screams, somebody stabs her, and then she falls down and dies. It's just they're just dying all over yeah. again.
At least a hot ghost has her own free will, can walk around and look at kids.
Right. Yeah. God, cry about children and
in my mind,
scare them.
I'm thinking of Jessica Rabbit ghost because you said the red dress. Oh.
Yes. There you go. We're just going to go with that. It was Jessica Rabbit.
Yep.
The other child, Charlotte, is around 6 or 7 years old. And her ghost is often seen with a severely deformed leg, and she's chasing after Emily. So it looks like it seems like they might have been sisters, and the younger one.
This is a fucking horror movie. What the
yes.
fuck?
Yes.
Like a deformed leg. I'm just, oh God. Did you
yes.
put like a what?
Well,
bad, think about Jessica Rabbit
it was
ghost. Think about Jessica Rabbit ghost.
it was. Described as one leg went backwards. Yeah.
Nope. I don't like that ghost. Get that one out of there.
Another female ghost is referred to as the governess. She is often seen with Emily and Charlotte and appears to be their nanny. I don't know if she was their nanny originally or if she's just their nanny in the afterlife, but they're all often seen together.
What
I don't
is there any
be,
like evidence of them being there and dying like all together? Like did was there a
well
obviously not a fire inside a castle, but like
no, I couldn't find anything that said how Charlotte Okay. Supposedly died, but Emily was the one that fell off the roof.
Maybe she was already there as a ghost and just decided to take care of the ghost children.
Maybe. There is an old man that's been seen around the castle as well. He is described as wearing a green coat and having shiny shoes. Which,
okay.
I mean, you got nothing else to do. You might as well shine your shoes in the afterlife.
Yeah.
He is sometimes seen with either an older woman or another older man. And I don't know if that older woman is the governess or not, or if there's another random old lady there. Because there's lots of ghosts.
Lots of old ladies there and just...
Yes.
This might be the most haunted castle ever.
Lots of murdered ladies.
They might be true about that claim.
Yes. There is a strange room in the castle that was featured in Mildred Darby's stories surrounding it. The room's location has been up for debate. They're not quite sure if it's on, like, what side of the castle it's on, because nobody's really sure if they've found the room based on the descriptions of it. It could be in the western wing or north. I mean, it's weird. Regardless, it's called... It's called the Murder Hole Room. Why they decided to name it that, I don't know. But
so if you look up pictures of the interior, there's a non-decorated room with a piece of, like, it looks like a torn off door and then a doorway just sitting.
Ooh.
If I had to guess a murder hole room, it's probably the fully dark doorway with the door ripped off of it with a non-decorated stone interior.
Could be. Well, the floor of the murder hole room is wooden because there is a stain on it. And the stain is said to be ever present in the wood. And if the boards are planed down to remove the stain, the stain reappears within hours. So they sand down the boards and then the stain comes back.
So I don't mean to be a skeptic because I do believe in ghosts and I believe this place is haunted as fuck. Mm-hmm. But do you remember in the Pacific Terrace house when Hiro threw up on the floor and it stained it black?
Oh, yeah.
We cleaned that shit for hours and we even took sandpaper to it, if I remember right. Like,
I don't remember, but
I think that maybe it's just a dog throw up pile. He ate a Sharpie and
maybe
threw up. It just could stained
be.
It.
Could be. Yep. Yeah, on the property near the castle is another building referred to as the priest's house. This building has not been renovated and still sits empty since the castle was burned in the 1900s. Dark, shadowy figures have been seen walking past the windows of the empty building, and chanting has been heard. Oh, God, when someone comments on the sound of the chanting, it stops.
Oh, so someone's like, what is that? And then all of a sudden it just stops. Yep. Oh, God.
And then it's quiet. Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like chanting, period. But then for it to stop when I go, what's that
sound?
Did they say
what they were chanting?
Mm-mm. No. Hmm. No, just that they can hear chanting.
Okay. I won't make the joke that I have in my head. It's not appropriate.
Before the property was burned, people would sometimes stay in the priest's house. So it was like, the Darbys,
like a guest
you know,
house,
would have,
almost.
Yes, okay. Yes, and people would sleep in there. Oftentimes, they would report laying in beds and feeling a heavy, large presence in the bed beside them, snoring. Because
so
it's
I'm
not bad enough.
I'm imagining when you lay in bed and, like, if anyone's experienced this, but, like, if you have an old mattress and you sleep on one side of the bed and you flip it over and there's like an indent.
Yeah.
I'm imagining
but you can,
there's just like an indent and there's.
They could feel somebody. Yeah, because it's not bad enough that you've got a ghost sleeping in bed with you, but now the ghost snores.
And you don't have anyone to throw a pillow at to make him stop snoring.
Right. Roll onto your side, man. Ghost. Yeah. Fucking hell. Yes. Another spooky area of the castle is called the Bloody Chapel, and it is where many of the spirits have been reported. There are stories about a priest who people have heard saying prayers. It's believed this priest was an O'Carroll brother who was killed by his brother because the priest started the religious service before the other brother arrived. Essentially, the brother that was slow to the party took it as great disrespect and murdered the priest / brother during the service. So he showed up late and was like, how dare you start without me? And so he killed his brother.
This sounds like
who happened
Scottish
to
version of Hatfields and McCoys, but the
Irish.
McCoys are fighting each other.
Yes.
Did you not see what he's calling?
Ireland.
Oh, yep, I got mixed up with the, because.
Yes.
Okay, I see now.
We were talking about kilts and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
I see now.
Ireland.
Okay.
We talked about oubliettes back in episode 37 when we covered Chillingham Castle. And now I know that you hate the term oubliette. I think it's a fun word just because
it's
weird.
Like foyer and foyer. I think I might just start calling basements oubliettes.
Oubliettes. An oubliette is a small room that can be used as like a storage room for valuables or a hiding place if the castle were under siege.
My first apartment.
And in Chillingham Castle, they did not good shit in the oubliette. And same with this one. In this case, the O'Carrolls used it basically as a dungeon and a place to store bodies of their enemies and those they killed, or even people that were still alive but were dying. So they were like, we're done with you, and we're throwing you in the oubliette.
Well, okay, so a castle is probably fairly cold just because it's made out of stone, but the oubliette's probably like a refrigerator. So it probably, I was thinking like, oh, the smell, but it's probably more of like, it's probably like 50 degrees in there. Like
it
close
might be
to
colder.
Refrigerator temp, so.
Yeah. Yeah, they weren't doing it for, they were just doing it to get people out of the way. Ugh. Like I mentioned, that they were known to hire mercenaries to help them in their fighting. Rather than paying them, they would just murder them instead. And it's believed that they put like one whole group of those mercenaries into the oubliette and just left them there.
Hey, okay, so we talk about leave no witnesses, don't talk about shit. They killed the witnesses. They killed the hitmen.
They did.
They did it the right way.
They did. At some point during the Darby's residency, the oubliette was renovated and 3 cartloads of skeletons were removed, and it was about 150 bodies.
How big are the carts?
I don't know, but it was 150 people.
Ugh.
So they must have been decent-sized carts.
I think a Home Depot cart, the big flat ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. It's believed that disturbing all these bones caused a massive spiritual shift on the property, causing many of the hauntings. One of the creepiest entities reported on the property is believed by some to have come from this event. It is referred to as the Elemental. This is the scary thing.
Ghost shouldn't have
right.
Names like... Okay.
Nope. Ready. Nope. It's been seen by numerous residents and guests of the property. The original appearance of the Elemental is not known, as the reports of it go way back. However, it was present when the Darbys were there, because Mildred Darby was talking about it. But they think it predates that. Some people believe its presence predates the excavation of the oubliette and believe it was an entity placed there by druids to safeguard the area even before the castle was built. And there's stories that maybe the site where the castle was built had been like a druidic hall of some sort, and they would do
what
druid is stuff a, there.
Is a druid like just a woodland witch?
I think so. I don't know.
Okay. Because I play games that have like druids in them and
druids, yes. And they're usually not bad.
No,
but
usually they're helpful, but like I don't know what an actual druid is.
I don't know.
Okay.
There are some who believe a rival to the O'Carrolls did dark magic and summoned the elemental to help him take over the castle. There are also local myths that point to the elemental having once been one of the O'Carrolls who died on the property from leprosy, which could explain how many people describe the looks of the spirit.
The elemental died of leprosy, so there's like a fucking...
Maybe. There's lots of theories as to what the elemental is or where it came from or who it was.
I guess I don't know what leprosy looks like, but I'm picturing like a Freddy Krueger ghost running around.
That's what I would think too. Let's discuss how it's described. It's described as a small humanoid figure that is all gray, as if it were made of wool, and it's covered head to toe in coarse hair. So like thick, rough hair everywhere, and it's all gray. And I see you making faces, so it can't be good. Well,
just if you're wondering, don't look up leprosy on Google Images. That's why I'm like,
oh, recoiling. You're making faces. Okay. I don't want to know.
It looks horrifying. It looks just picture like Freddy Krueger. Yeah. Sorry if you have leprosy.
Yeah.
I don't mean to make fun of you, but God.
Okay. Here's a more detailed description of the elemental. The face of the creature is described like a decaying skull with black holes where the eyes and nose should be, loose, slobbery lips, and drool dripping off the jaw that slopes back into the neck. So
he's got a underbite.
Yeah.
He's drooling out of the...
And he's drooling everywhere.
This is horrific. If I saw that, I would...
Yes.
I would firebomb my house. I would find a way to...
Yep. I'm moving. I am moving. Wait, that
we're in
second.
Ireland. Get the fucking... Get them firebombs over here.
As if the physical description weren't bad enough, it is also said to be accompanied by a terrible, nauseating smell. Because you got to see a gross, ghosty thing. You got to smell it too, I guess.
Good God.
Even though there have been some recent reports of the creature, the current owners of the castle report seeing many of the ghosts and hearing things around the grounds, but say they have never experienced the elemental. And it sounds to me like they should count themselves lucky for that. Because I don't want to encounter the elemental.
Ugh. Awful. This place.
I want to go to some haunted places, but I don't think I want to go to that place for that reason alone. Because I don't want to run into the elemental.
The one ghost. You don't run into Lola Bunny ghost. You run into the elemental.
Right.
So this place needs an exorcism. Yeah. What do you call a reverse exorcism?
I don't know.
The demon tells the priest to get out of the little boy.
Oh. That was terrible. That was so bad.
Alrighty, let's talk about the Battle of Alcatraz.
Yes.
So by the 1940s, Alcatraz had a reputation as the place you sent the worst of the worst. Gangsters, hitmen, guys so hardened they made regular convicts look like Boy Scouts, which at the time, yeah, killing people was pretty bad, but now
yeah, it's not that bad. I mean,
most convicts are in there for murder.
Not, I wish that were the case.
Alcatraz was marketed as an escape-proof prison. A prison so tight you couldn't wiggle out even if you were Houdini, Michael Phelps, and the Navy SEALs. Which
all rolled into one.
Yeah. If you... I didn't know this, but UFC fighter, I think it was Nick Diaz, one of the Diaz brothers, like to train for a fight, he would swim from Alcatraz to the mainland.
No. That's a terrible idea.
There's sharks everywhere.
There's big sharks in those water. No. Uh-uh.
Yeah. So Alcatraz started out in the mid-1800s as a military fort, which in hindsight is basically foreshadowing this event. If you build a fortress on an island, eventually people are going to shoot other people on it. By the 1930s, the government thought, hey, let's take this gloomy rock with icy shark-infested waters and turn it into a prison for our worst criminals.
Yeah.
Because nothing screams rehabilitation like a concrete island fortress that has a constant draft and smell of mildew.
However,
it opened in...
I don't think back at those days, rehabilitation was what they were aiming for.
No. They would lock these fools up and do they weren't even experiments trying on them with LSD.
Right.
Yeah. Shout out our Whitey Bulger episode. Go listen back to that. I don't know what right? it is, but what number?
Look it up.
Yeah. It opened in 1934 and quickly earned the name The Rock, Helcatraz, and the place where fun goes to die.
Oh, jeez.
The deal was
simple. That's any prison.
Yeah. Well,
you know, people don't go to prison for fun.
I've heard that the federal. Oh, there's a video of a. I don't know, like a bunch of prisoners got out of their cell and they got a hold of soap and water and they turned the whole cell block into a slip and
a
slide
foam party.
No,
oh.
Like there's videos of dudes jumping off like the steps and sliding like across the whole cell block.
It seems like a bad idea.
Not all fun is dead, I guess. Yeah. You get athlete's foot under your fucking hands.
No, thanks.
It wasn't like this was like the prison system's version of sending a kid to military school. So if they couldn't like behave in a prison, they'd send them to Alcatraz.
Somewhere else. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about what happened on this day. So the main ringleader, Bernard Coy, a bank robber doing 25 years, he was pretty smart and observant and had the patients like willing to plot this thing, but he studied the guards' routines and spotted a weakness. There was a gun room that wasn't super secure, and so he started recruiting some people. Marvin Hubbard, a convict who was arrested for kidnapping, he was like his right-hand man, except instead of offering helpful business advice, he was always ready to bash someone's skull. He also recruited Joseph Kretzger, a career criminal and killer, and then Clarence Carnes, the youngest guy in the team, just 19, nicknamed the Choctaw Kid. He joined because peer pressure in prisons is pretty intense. So when someone who's killed multiple people says, hey, you're going to help us with this, you're pretty inclined to join them.
Self-preservation.
So Coy figured out that the guards kept guns locked up in a secure area called the gun gallery. If they could overpower a guard, snag those guns, and get to the dock, they might just escape. Step one, ambush a guard. Step two, steal the keys and guns. Step three, stroll into a boat like they're just tourists who took the wrong turn. Step four, live happily ever after. Of course, this plan had one major flaw. It depended on everything going right, which it did not. The escape attempt kicked off on May 2nd and of 1946. Sorry. And Coy stripped down to his underwear, greased himself up like a human stick of butter, squeezed through the prison bars into the gun gallery.
He must have been a little person.
Yeah. If you're living on Alcatraz, I'm sure you're not getting the right amount of food. So you're probably very malnourished. And
but still, like, to squeeze through prison bars, you got to be tiny.
But if you're greased, well, true. The hardest part would get in your head through, probably.
Yeah.
So once he made his way inside, he overpowered the guard and snagged a weapon and grabbed the guard's keys. So he now he has a pistol. He has keys to the the whole Alcatraz thing. And he's greased up in his underwear. Mm-hmm. So he's hard to capture. I'm thinking of a greasy naked guy with a gun and someone trying to tackle him. And just, he slips out like Ray Lewis.
Wrestling a greased pig.
Yeah. So I already said he got the keys. But the key to unlock the door to the yard to get out to the docks, the guard had pocketed it while he was being attacked. So he grabbed the whole guard's keys. He's got a whole janitor key ring, but the guard took the key off secretly and put it in his pocket.
Yeeks.
So now they've got guns and no way to get out of the prison itself.
Oh.
Which is not a good combo.
No.
So the escape plan has already been fucked because they don't have the key. So they decided to shift gears and go out on a blaze of glory.
Of course. Why not?
They decided to start shooting guards. That was their blaze of glory. Gunfire erupted in the cell block. Guards screamed, bullets ricocheted, and the whole prison shook like a drum. Prisoners tried to hold their ground while correctional officers scrambled for cover. And I think in most prisons, they're not allowed, like, they have very few amount of guns for this reason. Like, because once a prisoner gets a gun, it's, he's got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
He's going to go all the way.
I would think, yeah, I would think so.
So word of the, I don't know if coup is the right word, but word spread of the things that were happening in Alcatraz.
The fight. And, sure.
Marines, Coast Guard, and police surrounded the island. Got so bad that they literally called in the U.S. Marines to fight prisoners with smuggle guns. But the only reason the Marines were thrown into this is because Marines at the time were the only military force that was under direct command of the president. So President Truman sent in a bunch of Marines coming off the heat of World War II.
Okay.
So they just come out of World War II, and these Marines were ready to fucking go.
Yeah.
For nearly 2 days, Alcatraz became a war zone. Guards, Marines, and Coast Guard tossed grenades into cell blocks. Marines fired rifles through steel doors. Prisoners returned fire blindly because they only have like a very limited amount of guns compared to the Marines. But they were throwing in incendiary grenades, fucking real grenades. Like,
get this thing go.
By May 4th, the situation was untenable. Guards had lost control of the parts of the prison, and prisoners were bleeding out, and hostages were caught in the crossfire. Because there's people, this basically a small gang took over the prison, and they're holding all these prisoners hostage.
All the rest of the prisoners and
because if you're just there for like kidnapping and it's like, fuck, I didn't want to get killed by the Marines or blown up with tear. Yeah.
Right. I was minding my own business trying to do my time.
So with Marines being Marines, they had a very straightforward solution. If you can't flush out your enemy, just blow up the building. They threw grenades, blasted holes in the prison, and basically treated it like they were in World War II again. They went full out trench warfare style.
Yep.
Inside, the gang realized that the jig was up and they weren't escaping. They probably weren't even surviving the fight. So in one last act of defiance, they killed themselves.
Okay. Well,
When the smoke cleared, three inmates were dead, 14 guards were wounded, and 2 guards had been killed.
Wow.
The Battle of Alcatraz shocked the country, and people throughout people thought Alcatraz was untouchable. But I think this incident helped them realize, hey, we shouldn't have a whole... We need a couple of guns if shit goes down, but like we shouldn't have a whole stockade of arms that someone could grease himself up and slip into.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Alcatraz stood until 1963 until it was finally shut down. But the Battle of Alcatraz, the legend still lives on.
How many days did it go?
Let's see. On the 4th, they killed themselves. I think it lasted 2 days. Yeah, 2 days.
2 days. Oof, that's a scary couple of days.
Yeah, especially if you're a prisoner in there and
these
guys are going crazy.
Like, I just want to mind my own business.
I
want to
do my time. I have 2 months left. I'm almost out.
Yeah.
That's scary. If you have 2 months left and the fucking Marines are coming to blow the doors off Alcatraz. Ugh.
Yeah. However, if Alcatraz was for the worst criminals, I imagine that there's probably more people excited and interested in participating in the riot than actually like going, I don't want to be involved.
True, but someone who's just been given 20 years and need like they just got their last month, they're more willing to get out than like break out. Than someone who's been there for 20 years and is getting out in 2 months. Like,
for sure.
That's kind of because people come in and out of prison. Like, they don't just stay there indefinitely unless they have a life sentence. But I'm thinking of the dude who did a bank robbery, didn't kill anyone, but still got 20 years and he's just about to get out next month. And then all of a sudden this shit blows up and he gets hit with a grenade. Like, ugh. It's just a fucking scary.
Yeah, not good.
In like, if you're getting shot at, you can run away. But if you're in prison in your cell block, you have not that much room to go. You have basically a cafeteria to run around in.
Right.
It's like shooting fish in a barrel. So
I would not. Wouldn't like that.
Do you have a chaser for us?
I do. My chaser is a watch recommendation for the show Zillow Gone Wild. Season 2 recently started. And if you haven't seen the show, it's basically where they showcase like really weird, bizarre houses. Not only like sometimes... It's just how the house was decorated that's weird. And sometimes it's the actual house itself that's weird. There was a house on there that was a castle. It was just a normal house, but it was designed to look like a castle. So everything on the outside made it look like a castle. It had like spires that look like gun turrets and round stuff, and it was weird. There was a house that was shaped like a giant boot.
There's
a round house.
There's like some dude who was friends with someone that it might have been Bob Lazar. I don't know. This dude that like reportedly saw a UFO built a UFO house, and he was like a government official guy. That'd be cool to see on there. Just like a...
Yeah.
Because there's some really cool houses. Like Zillow, I love watching. What's that one that's on HGTV where they're like, oh, I breed ferrets and I'm a school teacher and we're buying a $400,000 house. Like,
oh, right. Yeah.
What's that show called? Lover to List? No.
It's
the one they have a million different versions of it where they like
they go and view. There's a lot of different shows like that.
Yeah, I love those.
This
shows,
one, so. No one these most of the homes on this show are for sale. So you can see like how much it's listed for, how many square foot, all of those kind of things. Some of the homes have been recently purchased, but most of them are currently at the time of the show, they're on the market. And there's some wild stuff in there, and there's some really crazy things that I go, why would you do that? But
because you can, you anyway. Got money for it.
Yes. What's your chaser?
My chaser is a new game that my friend and I found. It's called Abiotic Factor, and it's so most games that come out now, like, they're like 100 gigabytes. This thing is 4 gigabytes. It has like PlayStation 2 graphics, but it's a brand new game. So it kind of like hits like a nostalgia feature for me. But
yeah,
it's so in depth, and it's like a huge open world. Like, you can build your own base, and like, you have to build weapons and kill enemies and stuff. And it's like, it's just 4 gigabytes for this incredible game, and it's kind of like sandbox, so you just run around, do whatever you want. You could do the missions or not, or just build your base and like try and equip yourself with as much stuff as possible. But it's like a really fun game that is very I scrolled past it a million times on the little Game Pass thing that I have, but my friend and I we got bored of our game waiting for another one to come out, so we're like, let's just try this shitty looking game, and turns out it's actually really cool. And I think if you guys play Xbox or PC, download that game and try it out. It looks unassuming, but it's the best it's game actually I've fun. Played in a really long time. Yeah,
cool. That's cool.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We enjoyed having you here with us. I don't know if I'd say I enjoyed that story. I enjoyed it up until
the elemental.
Yeah.
The elemental. Yeah. I saved the best for last. I had to. It's the grossest.
And it's terrifying.
Yeah. Yep.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Love you, Mom.
Love you, bud. Bye.